Hello there, welcome to our mini edition of From the Pavilion. I'm Julian Clover. I guess it's kind of a 100 balls kind of show this week. Former England captain Charlotte Edwards was back in Cambridgeshire at the weekend. She was at Bluntisham Cricket Club to officially open the club's twin lane practice net facility, which will be known as the Mick George Nets. Ollie Slack went to meet her.
So Charlotte, thank you for just letting me have an interview with you today. And before we talk about you and the career in women's cricket today, just want to let everyone know why you're here today and what you're doing back in Bluntisham.
Yeah, no, it's the opening of the Bluntisham Nets, supported by Mick George. And I, a few months ago, agreed to play in the game, and a few of my family members and obviously a Mick George 11 against the Bluntisham Cricket Club, a lot of the guys from the club. So, really privileged to be asked, and, it's been an enjoyable day.
Brilliant. And, today we've seen the kids all the families here, the covers are now here, the nets and all this. What can a facility like the Nets bring to a cricket club and a village cricket club like Bluntisham?
Yeah, I think it's integral to you growing the game in many ways. You know, good facilities, I think, the basis of any good club, and I think it attracts people to your club. So I think, to think you've got two, world-class nets, just to the side of the pavilion, hopefully, this will attract many youngsters from around the surrounding areas to Bluntisham and keep the club thriving over the next few years.
And you've won 3 Ashes series, a World Cup, a T20 World Cup. You made 309 appearances, scored over 10,000 runs as well. But I want to take you back to the start of your career, your youth cricket days, and you played in this area, and you had a big affiliation with this area as well. But this is where you started playing cricket, wasn't it?
Yeah, I've obviously got fond memories of playing in Huntingdonshire, and my actual first ever game of hardball cricket was here at Bluntisham Cricket Club against Bluntisham Primary School, and I was playing for Somersham Primary School. So I've have fond memories of this place. It's very close to my heart. My brother played here, my dad played here, and so when I was asked, I sort of jumped at the opportunity to come back, and any opportunity I have to come back to the area, I do, and try and promote cricket, because I know it's a minor county, and sometimes there are challenges with getting girls and boys involved in the game. So any opportunity I get, I try and come back and do my bit.
I was going to say, before you went into your progression, your career to play women's cricket, you must have played, I imagine, at the time men's cricket as well. But did that give you any challenges then, or what were the challenges, but then did it give you greater experiences, and could you take and learn from something from that to go into your career later on?
Yeah, I played most of my sort of teenage years with boys. There wasn't very little women's cricket and girls cricket, certainly in this area anyway, so I put a lot of my success down to playing boys and men's cricket, because I think challenges at an early age, having to sort of be judged, prove that I should be playing, there was many challenges, and I'm just pleased it's a lot easier now for a girl coming into the sport than it was probably for me. And I've looked back on my childhood days of playing cricket really fondly, and I wouldn't change it for the world, really. And like I said, it stood me in good stead in terms of what I did playing for England. It made actually playing cricket for England quite a doddle in many ways.
And women's cricket now, obviously, when yourself was involved and since you've been retired, it's got so much bigger over the years. But what point was it in your career where you really saw a vision with potentially other people as well, where you could take women's cricket to get to where it is now?
I think 2005 was a real turning point for the game. I think we won the Ashes in 2005 when the men won the Ashes, and we had a Trafalgar Square celebration, and it was the first time the women had really been involved in anything like that. And I think from that moment I thought, actually, there's a platform to build from. And and then just gradually, year by year, we've got more funding, more exposure, and I think 2013 was the time where I realised that the game had gone to another level, really, and we became professional. And then from the last 5 years, it's been incredible, the rise of the sport, and I think it culminated last year in the World Cup, and the amount of people that followed that, and to think Lords was full, I think it was incredible, and still kind of have to pinch myself to think that it did happen. But to think the game I started 20 years ago to now the game is unrecognisable, but I've been there on that journey, and it's been so special to be there and along the way and watch every step.
And what is the next step, I guess, with these initiatives such as Chance to Shine and the All-Stars as well? Is it important that we just keep trying to get the increase in participation? And also, whether it's Red Bull women's cricket, Red Bull men's cricket, white ball, any gender, is it just important to just keep that participation?
Yeah, the momentum now is really important. I think All-Stars are doing a great job, Chance to Shine in the schools, and but I think, you know, there needs to be visibility, you know, on TV. And I think the fact that free-to-airs, you know, BBC are taking some of the highlights, I think that's a great thing for cricket. I think the new 100 ball is going to be another, you know, special initiative for the women's game. And but the biggest step for us is to make the game professional domestically. And at the moment, we've got 20 people contracted by England, and I think the vision is really to expand that to, you know, 100 potentially. And Australia have 98 people professional, and we've got 20, so I think that's the vision moving forward, is we want as many professional cricketers in this country as we can.
And just last, we'll just go back to Bluntsham and finish off today, and you've well, obviously a great day it's been. What can a village cricket club, when it's booming like it is today, and if it grows over time as well, how can that, you know, impact a village, but impact young kids who want to go on and play cricket as well? Does it set foundations for them to go on?
Yeah, I mean, I put a lot of my success down to club cricket. You have to, it's where you begin the game, it's where you learn the game, and you meet so many people, and I have to thank so many people along the way, because without volunteers at clubs, without a, you know, a facility like you've got here, you know, you can't fall in love with cricket. So club cricket is so important to the growth of the game in this country, and you know, I can't speak highly enough of it. And you know, it looks like there's a great great atmosphere around this club, a real community feel, and I think that's important. You've got to create that kind of environment so people want to come down and watch, they want to get involved, and the club keeps thriving and getting better.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for joining me, Charlotte. It's been brilliant.
Thank you.
That's Ollie speaking to Charlotte Edwards, former England cricket captain. I'm trying to remember, was she former Cambridgeshire cricket captain as well? I think I suspect she possibly was. She was at Bluntsham Cricket Club on Friday to officially open the club's Twin Lane practice net facility, to be known henceforth as the Mick George Nets. In other cricket news from around the county, Burwell and Exning missed the chance to move up to second in the table after they lost to Copdock and Old Ipswichian on Saturday. Cambridge Cricket Club defeated Great Witchingham, meaning a victory for Burwell would have seen them leap up the table. Burwell were put into bat by Copdock and didn't even get off to a particularly great start, struggling on 37 for 3. However, a 138-run partnership by captain Joe Tetley and wicketkeeper Paul Summerskill helped the away side to a much more respectable total of 264 for 9. And despite taking a couple of early scalps with the ball, a fine 123 from Copdock's Adam Ball helped Copdock get over the line and reach the target with just under two overs to spare. Cambridge Cricket Club ended their long run without a win after defeating Great Witchingham by six wickets on Saturday. The hosts won the toss and put Great Witchingham into bat, restricting them to 247 for 7 thanks to three wickets from opening batsman Ben Claydon. The opening pair of Michael Pepper and Claydon then walked to the crease to set about chasing the target and gave Cambridge a strong platform to build on with an opening partnership of 97. Pepper eventually went for 84 with Cambridge 126 for 3, but skipper Johnny Atkinson hit 61 not out to finish the job and seal a crucial victory for Cambridge. Saffron Walden closed the gap at the top of the Whiting and Partners Division 1 after they won, and the leaders Eton Socon lost to Sawston and Babram on Saturday. Despite winning the toss and batting first, Eton Socon were bowled out for just 176 thanks to county star James van der Peer taking three wickets. Sawston managed to chase the total with Matt Haig hitting 81 and 47 overs, ensuring they move up to fifth in the table, and Eton Socon's lead at the top is cut to just 8 points. And in Division 2, Saffron Walden's twos avoided the slip-up against Stamford in style, thrashing them by 8 wickets. At one stage, Stamford were 31 for 6, but dragged themselves up to 92 before being all out. Cameron Taylor picked up a fifer. And Saffron Walden chased it down in no time at all inside 20 overs. Quickly, before we go on this section of the programme, to the 2020. It's the first international of England against India. India won the toss and elected to bowl at the Emirates Old Trafford. England are currently 112 for 5 with 5.2 overs left. A couple of highlights, I think, from the score so far. Butler scored a 29 ball 50. Roy was bowled on the pool by Umesh for 30. Hales and Morgan were out for 8 and 7, respectively, to coal deep. If you stay tuned to our news bulletins throughout the evening on Cambridge 105 Radio, we'll update you on that. But that's all for this week from this mini edition of From the Pavilion. Join us again next Tuesday at 6.30.